Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing is the second book of the critically acclaimed Dr. Daniel McCrimmon's historical fiction series, looking back at the life of Dr. Windsor Langford Waterbury III. The reader will be directed to Dr. Waterbury's unexpected revelation of a secret about his highly respected grandfather, which precipitates a review of the earlier part of his own life. Although socially privileged with an illuminating career in medicine unfolding, Dr. Waterbury faced sorrowful hurdles with a shattering deliberate manipulation to sever ties with his beloved fiancée. He must now make an important career decision, but at this time he is still haunted by his emotional and psychological setback. Hold on as Dr. Waterbury brings you along on an unfortunate journey during the maturing years of his life. The author, Dr. Daniel McCrimmon, a Harvard College, Columbia University-trained physician, is a practicing pediatrician. He's had a dedicated interest in blending his 38 years of clinical experience and discussions on family values to integrate science, history, philosophy, and spirituality and create a life story worthy of investigation, assessment, and analysis of a plan for self-improvement. Dr. Daniel McCrimmon, author of Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing, joining us on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Rick, thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm very, very pleased to be here.
Looking forward to this conversation. This really will, it's an entertaining book. It's a page turner. It really is, but it gets us thinking as well. And that's always a good thing when we do some thinking. Let's go back to the beginning when you wrote the book. You're a pediatrician, active clinic for over 38 years. What was the motivation, the inspiration for you to write three historical fiction books at the same time doing the clinic work? This really was dedication on your part. How did this all begin?
Well, first of all, lots of assistance from my staff as well as family and you know, the notion itself of actually writing the book came in the early 1990s as I was in church listening to a sermon. And I became very focused on writing a life story of a man at the age of 70 who looks back over his life and reviews what it takes to become a good human being. Now, I wanted the review to have seven events in each of the decades. I chose the period 1901 to 1971 because so much of America emerged during that time. And I chose the principal character to be a physician since I had great familiarity with it. Over the following 10 years or so, I went to several libraries in New York, in Boston, and Sacramento, searching for background material for each of the events. And I spoke with numerous senior citizens who gave me firsthand accounts for several of the events. In 2004, after putting together a basic skeleton for the story, I had the good fortune of meeting a history professor in New York who was an author herself. She did the motivating and helping me on the road to actually getting the project completed. And the whole project itself has been one of the greatest learning experiences I've had in my life.
So much dedication. You have the research in there. You've taken the time to think through what it is you want to talk about, how you address that, how you present that to the public. From the beginning, obviously, you had a clear message to share with all readers of your book. Talk about exactly what that is. And it's one that we all should stop, listen, and follow.
Well, you know, Rick, it really is this journey itself in actually writing the book gave me the idea that it would be the book itself would actually offer to a reader the principal character's life and the lessons that he learned, the time-tested and time-proven principles for living a good life. But I made sure that he was in the furnace. He suffered, had injustice done, and adversity. And these are the things that a good human being remains steadfast. They walk on higher ground, and they have nurtured the well-being of themselves and of others along the way.
It's such a fascinating book, and I'll give you information on where you can find both of these. This particular book that we're talking about is Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing by Daniel McCrimmons, M.D., and you'll spell McCrimmons, M-C-C-R-I-M-O-N-S. The book's at Amazon, the usual places. If you go to our website, you can link on directly and get information there on the book. Mentioned before all of the extensive research that went into this. Talk about that, and how long did you work? This is part of a three-book series. How long did you work on this entire series?
Okay, so the idea came to me again in the early 1990s, and over the following 10 years or so, I was gathering research, the historic references for the events. But then in 2004, there was a difference of actually putting my feelings to a little bit more specific understanding of things. And so the book was written to be one book. And then looking at the audience that's here in 2020, the challenge of reading a 1,000-page book is pretty overwhelming. So I decided in 2017, 1 month prior to actually publishing the book, to divide it into three books. Now, my initial editor was my professor in college, and he's the one who suggested that it would be more readable to actually do it in three books. So I had to quickly create a cliffhanger for books one and book two, oh,
yes.
And I had to create a new beginning for books two and book three. So all of this had to happen within 1 month time of actually presenting the book to the publisher. And so I was really happy, but it happened, and I'm grateful.
Well, the public is as well. The book, Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing, that's the book we're talking about on the program. All of them available at Amazon. You can go to our website and get information there as well. Talk about the title. The title, Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing. Why did you choose that title?
Rick, the title was very, very purposeful as opposed to just a random title.
Yes.
I discussed this matter with the history professor, and diamonds themselves are the hardest substance on Earth. And as they are formed, they go through time, extreme heat and pressure to actually be created. And then they're actually prepared. And so I wanted to compare the good human beings as diamonds in the world. They go through setbacks, suffering, some kind of emotional pain as their reference for being who they need to be as they're evolving. Now, the diamonds in the world comprise only a small percentage, yet their message is strong and enduring like the diamond themselves, the diamond jewelry.
Yes.
In the water actually is something that I developed as a part of it, because we are born in the water, and 60% of our body is composed of water. So if we are of the water, it is a basic life experience. So here you have diamonds in basic life experience, and this is what we want to climb to become.
The book Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing. The author is our guest on the program, Daniel McCrimmons, M.D. Now, you mentioned furnace in the subtitles to books one and three, indirectly referring to it in this book, book two. What's the significance throughout the entire story?
So reference to the furnace itself was very, very specific. What comes to mind when you think of a furnace is challenge, adversity, some kind of suffering and setbacks that anyone has to face. And the importance is clearly presented in two examples in the Old Testament and the Bible. And we need to know how to accept these challenges and what it is that's necessary to overcome them. So in the chapter 3 of Daniel, we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, but they're protected by the angel. And then you have in Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 10, God speaking to Isaiah, said, "I have not rewarded you with the silver spoon. I have placed you in the furnace of adversity." And when you stop and think about that, and you look at all the examples of people who have gone through Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, Helen Keller, I mean, they all had some kind of pain and suffering and some kind of setback, but none of these were in vain. They were all a strengthening process, a power to acquire the lesson and learn through the portal of the furnace. And they overcame their pain and suffering through faith and through tenacity and through patience. And so the furnace itself is sort of a leveling ground for good and evil to be examined consciously. In the middle of intense heat, we must realize that there is good and evil presence. The goodness is the lessons from the furnace, and the evil is sort of the impurities that are part of the experience that has no desired purpose, but yet they are a necessary part of our being.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our website is thisweekinamerica.us. Information on our guest, Daniel McCrimmins, MD, author of Diamonds in the Water, three books. The book number two we're talking about, Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing. Information on booking, you can order at Amazon, all of the usual places. Video version of the program, by the way, on our YouTube channel. You can Google it and find it. You can go to thisweekinamerica.us and go to videos and see the video of the interview with Dr. McCrimmins there as well. Let's talk a little bit about, if you will, the particularly meaningful points in your book that you would like to share with the listeners. And I would like you to actually do that. You've done such a beautiful job in the composition of the book and getting our attention with your message. Please share with us a little bit, something that you think is particularly meaningful for the audience.
Well, thanks, Rick. I had two selections that I think would be helpful. The first one is actually in the preface to the novel, and it's entitled A Candid Insight on the Intention for Writing Diamonds in the Water. So this is for all three books, as a matter of fact. Diamonds in the Water intends to address that peculiar and pervasive complacency that exists while living in a spiritually and culturally divided society under the pretext of a United States of America, which the population has accepted throughout its history to be the American way. In fact, that issue has never been investigated, but does need to surface so we can stare at it and study it for a while. We need a microscopic examination, that deeply searching introspective review that brings a polished mirror to the forefront of our consciousness. But we must ask the naked questions: how much truth can one bear? What does it take to push someone to face it? Are we capable of making changes within ourselves to take that preliminary step, embrace the truth, and consciously and suddenly cry out, is there more for me to bear? We need to return to our conscious state of conscience and take the opportunity to directly stare at the mirror of truth and face it. But it cannot be approached in a conventional way. The revelation of this mirror requires a stillness within us, a deeper, penetrating thought, a partnership between ourselves, each other, and our Creator.
So well done, Dr. Daniel McCrimmins, with us on the program from Diamonds in the Water, the book two that we're particularly talking about in the program today, You Shall Remain Standing. Excellent job with that. So powerful. Words that we all need to read and listen to and to follow, aren't they?
Well, I tell you, I've been very, very fortunate having had a practice where the children sort of, I use them as my mirror.
Oh, yes.
And they have been sort of very kind in sharing some of and revealing some of these important points to me that I've just sort of imprinted into my consciousness. And that's why it's so meaningful to me.
Well, it's interesting because if we slow down and listen to the kids a little bit more, we probably all would be better off. And you have the opportunity, and I say opportunity, to do that on an ongoing basis. Anything else you'd like to share with us? I believe you've got another thought there that I'd love for you to share with the audience.
Okay, so in the middle of the book, the principal character listens to a speech that was given in Central, of actual speech that occurred in the spring of 1944. This was a naturalization session with 100,000 people being naturalized in Central Park. It was the biggest event in New York City history, where the whole park had 1.1 million people wow. there during the time this event actually occurred. And when the speech was over, I had the principal character sort of analyze the speech to the point where he actually rewrote the Pledge of Allegiance that they had to speak at the end of the swearing in ceremonies. So I wrote, "I pledge allegiance to the soul and spirit that infuses a nation to be honorable, forthright, industrious, resourceful, mindful, and accountable in its affairs, and representative of all its citizens, inhabitants, and neighbors throughout the world. And to the everyday person living within our borders, joined in a common and simple brotherhood of men and women, for which the federal, state, and local government and all its branches and agencies serve diligently and caringly, an awareness and appreciation of the precious gifts of liberty, justice, peace, friendship, and open-heartedness."
A pledge of allegiance that says everything, doesn't it? You have it all there. So well done. Daniel McCribbins, medical doctor, our guest on the program, pediatrician. Principal character, Dr. Windsor Waterbury III. Many attributes of a good human being. You mentioned you did doctor because you understand doctoring. Was he based on anyone you knew personally?
Yes. Two people specific. They were two men. One, my medical school classmate, Dr. Carl Camrus, who went on to become the chairman of the Department of Ophthalmology out of the University of Nebraska. And he developed the treatment that is used worldwide for glaucoma. And his research and just him, the human being that he was, is very, very much in alignment with what I wanted my principal character to represent. And the other person was my mother's boss, lawyer in New York City, Mr. Carl Holmes, who was a lawyer committed to the underserved community. Here, this man had an opportunity to be on Wall Street and be with the very, very top lawyers in the city, and he chose personally to stay in the underserved community, and it also registered inside of me as being something very, very noble and something very, very meaningful. So yes, the principal character is based on those two wonderful friends.
And that principal character, Dr. Windsor Waterbury III, experienced a great deal of hardship, yet he remained standing through all of this. He developed a prolonged life-threatening disease, was a medical officer in the South Pacific dealing with life and death situations during World War II. What were his thoughts about war? Because he saw the bad side of life at that point.
He did. And when he saw all the things that happened in the South Pacific, he was a medical officer there. It moved him in a very, very saddened way. And just what was the actual purpose of war? And he couldn't quite accept that it was necessary in any circumstance. So while he was traveling on the ship returning to the United States, I had him write a poem. And so the title of the poem, which is in the book, is called "War No More Inside Your Mind." So I'd like to read that poem to you.
Please do, please.
"War no more inside your mind. The battle was prepared with false plan. Back and forth across the enemy line, the ammunition struck, defeating your stand. War no more inside your mind, or use of weapon on the field or on the sea. There is no victory, only a crime to deplete the loving heart of humanity. War no more inside your mind. The land and goods are not to seize. We are here to share and preserve our future generations' line and knowingly avoid that regrettable mental disease. War no more inside your mind. What is the point to put up the fight? death and desolation come in a matter of time. For the select few, it is justified to be right. War no more inside your mind. It is a conception of failure, doomed to the end. Your pride and ego place illusion on the line, when in fact the enemy should be your friend. War no more inside your mind. Your thoughts play tricks of deceit. The glory, the honor, and the battle cries ring sublime, even though true victory is elusive and the end will lean toward defeat. War no more inside your mind. The conflicts can't be answered that way. There is a better solution that you can find to be used on any God-given day. War no more inside your mind, for the battle truly begins in there. The poor decisions, the errors, the games are not benign. They fill your brain with rage and strife everywhere. War no more inside your mind. Turn discord around and your worries will cease. For the objective is to think to be kind, and the inadequacy settles, and the result is peace. War no more inside your mind. Harmony and accord will lead you by the hand. The agitators and aggressors will no longer be blind, and goodwill will reign supreme over the land.
What a powerful poem that you have in the book, and just gives us such a feeling for what he was going through during that period. Were there any experiences, hardships, setbacks during your life, including medical school training? I look and you've got a successful career, you've got a great education, you're there, front lines, helping people. Any hardships in your life?
You know, I had many, but one in particular during medical school will be important to share with our listeners today. So it was the first day of my third year surgical clerkship, and I was in the operating room with a senior surgeon performing a breast removal from a patient with breast cancer. And as I walked into the operating room, the surgeon asked, "Doctor, what is the embryologic origin of the breast?" That meant, what tissue did the breast originate? And I thought back, and I didn't remember learning that, so I said I didn't know the answer. And after telling him that, he quickly and abruptly said to me, "Doctor, what do you know? Get out of this operating room." I was stunned, frozen, sort of hesitated, and he repeated, "I told you to get out." So I was waiting outside the door, and here I am just completely confused. Yes. What I had done. So my resident, who was my immediate instructor, passes by and he asks what I was doing. So I told him I was sent out because I didn't know the answer to the question. And he said, "Well, what was the question?" And when I told him, and he says, "Well, why didn't you know that?" And I thought, oh, wow, this is the first day, yes. And this is rough. So over the next 3 weeks, I had to see patients with that resident. And at the end of the 3 weeks, I asked him what I could do to improve my performance. And he said I was doing fine. And then the whole course ended in 6 weeks. So the attending comes up to me and he says, "Well, you didn't have a very favorable evaluation." And then I said, "Well, what happened?" And he says, "Well, here, I want you to read it." So I read the thing, and I remember this is 43 years ago. It said, "In short, Daniel is obtuse, poorly organized, and has no business being in medical school."
Wow.
Signed by that resident. I was devastated, just devastated. So I felt for sure that I was going to be expelled. That was it. The dean of the school, of the students, extremely strict, very fair, but very strict. No tolerance for any excuses, called me into her office. And I said, "Oh, I'm done." So I thought maybe she might be nice and say, "Okay, well, you'll have to repeat this rotation because, you didn't do a good job with it." So she asked me what happened, and I told her the whole story. And after listening to the story, she said with great care, "Daniel, just go on to your next rotation and work hard." Well, not only did she allow me to actually continue my schooling, but she selected four students to be the class marshals leading our class procession into the Columbia main campus. She selected the valedictorian, two others top-ranked students in our class, and me. And it was a blessing and a crowning victory.
Yes. It just, boy, so many lessons there. The time is going by so quickly. Daniel McCribbins, MD, is our guest, the author of Diamonds in the Water. Book two is You Shall Remain Standing. A few minutes left in the program. Are there any dramatic situations in the book that involve the principal character, Dr. Waterbury, that would be appealing to the listeners of the program, do you think, that they could relate to?
Okay, so one real quick one is a conversation between Dr. Waterbury and a former classmate of his who's now an executive at the AMA in 1939, AMA, the American Medical Association, meeting. And so he wants to go there to become an executive on the council there in the AMA, and this guy is there against him. So they're having a discussion before the meeting, and so the guy is speaking. His name is Dr. Merritt. He's talking to Dr. Waterbury, and he says, "Waterbury, those people are not worth the time of day. What respect should I ever show them other than to tell them to shine my boots, pick my cotton, and go back to their quarters until they are told otherwise?" By this point, I was not going to take another worthless word from his mouth. I grabbed him by his collar and said firmly, "Spare me your nonsensical garble. You can continue to play all your petty games, pretending to be some omniscient present in an organization that isn't as valuable as the prize in a Cracker Jack's box. I came here sincerely to offer a boost to material improvement in the medical care of the poor and neglected communities. I prepared a talk that recommended meaningful guidelines to accomplish this goal. But now you've forced me to discuss some sensitive disclosures, and you will not interfere. I will go before the delegates and speak for 15 minutes. I will leave thereafter. I won't allow it. Who do you think you are?" I lifted him by his neck. "I'm not asking for your permission for time on your precious meeting schedule. I'm telling you that I have something to inform your delegates, and you will be very sorry if you attempt to stop me." As I lowered him, I gave him a final thought to consider. "You can look at me, call me names, and offer your opinion that you disagree with my beliefs, but do not cast judgment on a group of people you have never given a chance to show what they can do or help make their situation better. My father once told me to be mindful of the needs and circumstances of others. Who are you to judge one's status, be it skin color, economic setback, or intellectual or physical malady? The circumstances could arise for you to be placed with those you judge. And who's to say that you, with all your social advantage, money, and privilege, would fare as well as they do under those very circumstances? Waterbury, you are a disgrace to the white race. Dr. Merritt, your ambition and blind conventional assumption offer a disservice to God and yourself. When you learn to be mindful of the needs and circumstances of others, you will accept a valuable lesson about what really matters in this life." I left him in the room to choke on his own smoke.
So I can see this being a movie. You have to do a movie with this because those words come to life, especially with your presentation of those. They're so well done. Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing by Daniel McCribbins, the book we're talking about. A couple minutes left here. I'll let you sort of wrap up in talking about the important themes. What is it that you hope we take away from reading Diamonds in the Water?
Okay, so I linked all of these themes, and it's history, philosophy, spirituality, science, nature, hands, and music.
Interesting. I would have maybe guessed a few of those, but not hands. Why hands? Why is that one of the main points, one of the important themes?
No, this is important because the hands, especially with the physician, are part of the issue of service, feeling, caring, and healing. And in the case of Helen Keller, seeing, her hands were her sight. And so that's why I thought hands would be an important message with this theme.
Take 30 seconds here. Give me a take-home point, people that are listening to the program. Why you wrote the three books and why you feel will not only, again, be entertained because it's a great read, all three of them, but such a message too.
Oh, thanks. All right. So while we're traveling in our life on the journey, consider that ongoing introspective review of our life events. With that review, we want to determine how we can consciously climb in our understanding of what positive and meaningful offerings we can contribute to make our lives more productive. It's not easy. We must be trained with that time-tested and time-proven principles we talked about earlier, as well as experience setbacks, adversity, and sorrow. But with those useful tools, we can guide to engage our hearts and minds and see that our struggles and efforts were not in vain and have a worthwhile outcome. Somewhere along the way, opportunities are presented to constantly remind us how to conduct our affairs meaningfully. We want to take to heart the lessons, take to heart the introspective review, take to heart the reminders, so we can all witness a brighter tomorrow, not only for our children, but our children's children, and for our children's children's children.
You will find all of this and so much in Diamonds in the Water. It's a three-book series. The one we focused on a lot today, but there are three books out there. The book number two, You Shall Remain Standing. Diamonds in the Water, You Shall Remain Standing. Daniel McCrimmons, M.D. McCrimmons is M-C-C-R-I-M-O-N-S. The book's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. You'll get information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, a pleasure having you on the program. What an excellent job you've done with this series. I got 30 seconds here, but are you working on anything else right now? Because you're a very gifted writer.
Oh, you know, the third book hasn't been published yet. It's been submitted. The manuscript has been submitted, and it will be out sometime probably before the end of this year.
Perfect. We'll look forward to that and in future books from Dr. McCrimmons. Thank you again for being with us on the program. Excellent job. Loved having you with us. Congratulations on the success of the series, and hopefully we'll have you back to continue our conversation.
Rick, thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. It has been a pleasure having you with us on the program. The book Diamonds in the Water, book two, You Shall Remain Standing, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.